You may have noticed that there are a lot of snowy owls to be seen these days. These Arctic birds are staging what's known as an eruption. That's IR. Eruption, not eruption, like the volcanoes. It's a sort of avian invasion of the Northeast this winter. Dr. Kevin McGowan of Cornell Lab of Ornithology joins me now to explain. Kevin McGowan, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Now, how many birds are we talking about here? They're not crowding my backyard at the moment, but we have an unusual number of snowy owls making their way into New England and to here on Cape Cod.
That's true. It's sort of hard to get exact numbers on how many owls we're talking about. Probably in the number of thousands. We don't actually count birds all that well, so getting specifics is somewhat difficult. There are a couple of ways that we do this, one of which was the Audubon Christmas bird counts that just started this weekend. From the results I've seen already, the only two counts I've heard from on Long Island, both had record numbers of owls. One had 14 and the other had 15 on their count. We also do here at the Lab of Ornithology have eBird, which is a big project for people to keep track of their own bird sightings, and then it goes into a big database. And so we can see from that that there are a lot of owls scattered all over, and hopefully if enough people actually use eBird and put in their sightings, we'll have some good numbers that we can actually talk about in the future. But it's still happening. They're still coming. We don't know how many yet, but boy, they're a lot more than normal.
You said they're still coming, and in fact, I've seen reference that this may be the first of two waves this winter.
The owls do what most of the other birds do, which is they go as far south as they have to. You have to understand, snowy owls are made to be living at the top of the world in the dark and in the cold in the winter. They normally don't come down here. They normally stay up and eat whatever it is they can find to eat, mostly lemmings, little mouse-like things, and a type of duck, a king eider, that also is, I don't know, foolish enough to stay at the top of the world. But if they can't find their food, or if there are too many owls jostling each other out after a good year of raising a lot of kids, then they sort of jostle their way down here. And they come as far as they have to. So this last weekend, we had a big storm. And just yesterday, this morning, I've been watching waterfowl coming out of the north here in central New York, coming out of Canada, because everything froze up over the weekend. And so we can assume that the same thing is going to be true with the snowy owls, that there are some more farther northward that may, in fact, get pushed farther southward. There were some observers in Newfoundland at one of the tips of the southern peninsula, southeastern peninsula, and those people were reporting seeing over 100 snowy owls just in a morning as they drove along the roads, and those guys were probably poised to head farther southward. So you may even have gotten some of those in the Cape this weekend.
So you've mentioned a couple of possible reasons for this influx of owls into the more southerly areas. Do we know why this year in particular they're coming into the Northeast?
No, we don't really know why this year in particular. These guys do this on a periodic but unpredictable basis. They often follow the lemming peaks. Lemmings are what we call cyclical. They have population booms and busts. And when the owls track the booms and they have lots of kids when they're booming, and then all of a sudden it crashes and they all have to come out of there. We don't know if there's been a big boom and bust. The data, some people do collect these data, and I haven't actually been able to see them yet. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association puts out an Arctic report card, but they don't put it out till January, so we'll have to see if they have something to say about what happened in the Arctic this summer that explains this. This is not unprecedented, it's not unexpected, but boy, it's a big one, and we're seeing more owls than anybody's really used to here in the Northeast.
I don't think we're used to hearing good news about the Arctic these days. I mean, we hear a lot about the melting of Arctic ice, the impacts of climate change, but it sounds like one reason for this influx could be the fact that there are so many owls. So is this good news?
It's hard to say yet, and it is. It does kind of make you want to feel like, oh, should I cheer? Should I be smiling? I don't know. Is this a good thing, a bad thing? And the possibilities are, one or the other. It could be bad or it could be good. We can hope for the good and enjoy the owls no matter what, but those of us who actually do pay attention to these kind of things, we're watching and we're keeping track of what's going on, because the high Arctic ecosystem is one of the ones that we worry about the most with global change. These are like animals from another world that are adapted to live in a place we can't really imagine being. And it's going to be one of the first ones to be disrupted if if things happen the way we think it's going to happen.
Now, of course, these animals, as you said, are coming south in search of food, but they also come into much more populated areas, and that brings its own hazards. And there have been a number of stories about snowy owls at airports. What is it that attracts these birds to airports? That seems rather counterintuitive.
Well, it looks like home. Think about these birds. They've been raised up above the Arctic Circle, like way above the Arctic Circle. Probably some of those birds had to fly 1,000 miles before they found a tree. They don't know what trees are. They don't understand what people are. But they come upon this big, flat, open space that has lots of grass and lots of open areas and little short things to sit on to survey the what looks like tundra. And it looks like home to them. So it is what they're used to foraging. It's the habitat that they know, that they like, and so it looks familiar.
So what should people do if they do encounter a snowy owl? Do they need to report it, or are there any precautions they should take?
Well, they should enjoy it first and foremost. They're awesome creatures. They stand 3 feet high, have about a 5-foot wingspan. They're almost all white. And you hardly ever get to see them. Lots of people live their entire lives without ever seeing one of these things, and they're cool. They're just really, really neat animals. People are interested in where they are. eBird.org, it's a free service, basically, that you can sign in and create an account and keep track of your sightings. And if you put down, you can find it on a map. It has a nice mapping tool that you can find where your owl was, put it down, and get it into the system. That would be awesome.
So,
if you find an injured owl or a dead owl, most of the states, the wildlife pathology people are interested in hearing about them because they want to see why they died. We do know that they get hit a lot. They're not paying a lot of attention to people or cars or airplanes, for that matter. So they're vulnerable to being struck on the road. And then these young birds, it's hard to be a young raptor. It takes a lot of skill and learning to be able to successfully kill things to survive. So a lot of them don't survive naturally, and we see a few of those too that come down here. It's just too hard. They end up starving to death, unfortunately. So we're trying to keep track of exactly what's going on because, again, it matters what the birds here do, whether they're successful or not. It matters who they are, whether they're an adult or a juvenile, so we can interpret to see, was this a good thing or a bad thing?
Dr. Kevin McGowan of the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Thanks, Kevin.
You're most welcome.
And thanks all for listening. Until next week, this is Living Lab on the Point. Find Living Lab Radio anytime on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Heather Goldstone.